morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this April 9th, 2023 live edition of Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner, and the website is theliberationstation.com. On the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com is the chat room, and I'll join there in just a moment. We're also streaming live video for you to follow along on the video and action. The revolution is being televised, but narrowcast, not broadcast like we would like to see, especially when it comes to things across the world, all the protests, especially in France lately, that we're not getting to see, and Norway and all across Europe. So we'll televise what we can here on the screen and show you the graphics and charts and diagrams on the live stream that's originating at facebook.com/WeAreChangeTampa, facebook.com/WeAreChangeTampa. And I shall share that over to the Republic Broadcasting page when we start out with the first clip, and get into that in just a moment. Your calls are welcome at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And if you would like to join by Skype, I can conference you in, or if you think in the future you may want to join by Skype, you can get conference, or you can add me as a contact, invite me as a contact, or I'll invite you as a contact if you want to send me your Skype address in the chat room or some other secure way. If you don't want it out there, as I do, I don't normally spread it around. So if you want to send me a private message in the chat room or on Facebook, I'll put you up on screen, and then we can have a conversation. Or if you don't want to go on screen, that's fine too. But at the same time, I'll show up on screen any graphics that I think are relevant on the screen at the same time. So if I'm not familiar with something, I'll look it up and try to familiarize myself and the audience at the same time. And then we can proceed with the conversation. As you may have noticed, I don't know a lot of news, and folks call me up and tell me what's going on. So if you think something's important, you're welcome to call in. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for expressing yourself, even if it's sitting in silence, basking in the natural radiance of your own soul, your God-given peace, sending those good vibes out through your environment, throughout creation. And that's how it's done, with the intention, so you can improve your situation. Certainly won't make it worse if you pray, meditate, be a transceiver for the Holy Spirit, for God's loving prana, chi, organ, whatever you like to call it, that unlimited life force that's always waiting to flood in. And encourage folks to always focus on your third eye and your heart as constantly as possible. And if you're a sincere seeker, then everything will work out just fine. I'm really surprised these last going on 3 years, my intuition has really improved. And it's my responsibility to report on some of the things that I've learned, so I'm going to start out the show with that. I'm so excited to say that I believe Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be the next U.S. president, and I do encourage folks to call in if you have any criticism on that. After all, if you knew, if you were certain, if you felt certain anyhow, and I shouldn't feel, I've never felt so certain, because I know that there are probabilities. And it is always important to continually tune in, question your own perceptions, your own feelings, because you're reaching that still state of stillness, and familiar with that unbiased state of stillness, or far less biased state of stillness, and in order to learn what's important intuitively. And if there's a lack of maturity spiritually, I'm told about it, and told that before the answer can be given, then this is what needs to be worked on for you to be able to accept, let alone fathom, to any useful degree, what the what's being conveyed. So I do encourage folks to call in or contact me. Let me know what your criticisms are of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. As I was saying, after all, if you felt certain that someone was going to be the next president, wouldn't you want to know what you're in for? So let's start off with last Sunday, April 2nd, after the show, I got in an emotional meditative state and got the feeling that the plans that are being worked on, having seen already the photo of a week, I think about a week, almost a week before at the time, that was posted on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Facebook page of him with Del Bigtree and attorney Aaron Seary. And so I knew that they were collaborating on something important, but almost a week later, April 2nd, is where I picked up on the, it just hit me, the emotional impact of the knowing that there's going to be a lot of great work. So this is what I posted on RFK Jr.'s Facebook page yesterday in response to his posting that he just announced that he's filed for president. He's running for U.S. president 2 days ago. I think it was 2 days, maybe 3 days ago. Yes, I think it was Thursday. So that would be on April 6th. I posted on his page, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I've heard for some time you've been planning to run. And what I mean by that, I'll interject here, is that I've just been hearing through the grapevine from reliable sources who I was surprised that they would spill the beans publicly. I wouldn't do so if you confided in me, by the way, folks. That's one of the gifts of spirit, is knowing that you can keep your mouth shut and know that that is the default position unless spirit tells you otherwise. Otherwise, things need to be presented. The problem is that things need to be presented carefully if they are going to be disclosed publicly, and that may be impactful. I know that a lot of folks I know that a lot of folks do find this upsetting, no matter what their persuasion is politically. I sense that those who are just anti-freedom are the most upset by this revelation, and I think that's the worst heat that I could draw from it, is I can sense that a bit. But you know, they say that when you don't forgive somebody, you're the only one who suffers. Well, that's not exactly true. If somebody can pick up, especially the target of your non-forgiveness can pick up on it, it affects them too, and fortunately allows them to defend against that by going into an even deeper state of love and sending love. That's how you fight your enemies, by love, compassion, and learning specifically what their plans are. So continuing my message, I'll start over to this message to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I've heard for some time you've been planning to run, and a week ago I was inspired by the photo of you with Aaron Seary and Del Bigtree. Whatever all the plans are around your run for president, since this past Sunday, April 2nd, 2023, Spirit tells me that your team has astoundingly great plans, like bringing education as neglected topics are brought to debate, and that all involved will be gratified beyond your, and likely my, wildest dreams, though no one more than Del Bigtree. I'm learning to comprehend how profoundly happy this makes me. Folks, just send love to allow these awesome plans to be the best they can be. And I sense also, I didn't say there, I sense also that Del Bigtree has a huge part in the PR, as one would expect, in this whole campaign for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I don't often make predictions, and though the few that I have become true, for better or for worse, links to which are available on request if anyone would like me to send links to posts that I've made to validate the date and the time before they happened. If it serves to lift your spirit, and that's the intention here, is to lift your spirit, that number one, you can do this too. You can tune in. You ought to be making progress in practicing on tuning in, and that's the best form of self-care. And number two, if it helps to inspire you to tune in to see that I have been correct in the few times that I have the links to prove, to show, then I'll be glad to give you those links. This last prediction I just posted on my Facebook page, I decided to, I think it was April 5th. So, but I did have the honor of meeting Robert Scott Bell and Christine Glein on Monday, April the 3rd, here in Clearwater Beach. First time I got to meet them, and conveyed that to them. So they were the first ones who heard of my prediction and this announcement from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running for president came afterwards, but it wasn't hard to see that he was planning to. He was likely planning to, just from looking at the news, but certainly it's been talked about a whole lot, and in some very certain and not so certain ways by some who were more more ambiguous in their discretion, fortunately. So I think it's great to leave something to mystery. At least encourages me to tune in and ponder what's going on here, and to keep tuning in, just to keep wanting to tune in for the purpose of having something actionable, and that includes prayer and meditation, sending love. That's an action. Actually, the very definition of karma is action, and that can be just moving emotion, and whether it's within or directing it outside of your body to help fix and improve situations, yourself, other beings. So it's all in the prayer for the upliftment of creation, because you cannot pray for one without praying for the intention to uplift all of creation. So there's your news. There's your exclusive news. I believe it's exclusive wholeheartedly. But I would like to hear what you have to say about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We'll get into your calls after this clip, unless you want to slip in right away. The call-in numbers are 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And now we'll get into another news-packed segment of the Jackson Report from the last edition of the High Wire with Del Bigtree, and I'll have my commentary afterwards. So it's a really good set of circumstances and revelations coming out at the Great Barrington Declaration in Sweden. Sweden observed protecting the elderly and frail, and allowing society to continue to be open, not like a prison lockdown. Well, they came out with the lowest excess mortalities, as you'll hear, and much more from the Jackson Report. So, let's see, Sam, if you have that ready, if that clip is ready, please go right ahead and roll it.
A lot of folks said even the WHO is being forced with real science here. So we're seeing the real consensus of the pendulum is really swinging to reality. And we're seeing this weekly in these headlines as we're reporting these things. Let's look at the Telegraph here. I mean, strong wording in this article. Remember the Telegraph, all these other organizations used to push for lockdowns, talk about how great they were. Now the evidence is in, it says. Lockdowns kill people, and the more you lock down, the more you kill. Unbelievable. Let's go into this article and see what it says. It says, one country held out, Sweden. Lacking its own pandemic plan, had adopted Britain's, and unlike Britain, it did not crack under criticism. Sweden is our counterfactual, a laboratory quality control showing what would have happened here had we held our nerve. And the evidence it presents looks damning. A study has found that from 2020 to 2022, Sweden had the lowest excess mortality rate in Europe. Goes on to say this, Sweden did not just do better over time, it actually killed fewer people during the pandemic. Strong words here, Dell. Wow. How did Britain's leaders respond to the evidence that they should have stuck to plan A? They took it as a personal affront. Hancock, this is Matt Hancock, referred in his message to the effing Sweden argument and asked officials to, quote, supply three or four bullet points of why Sweden was wrong. So they're fighting it every step of the way. And then it goes on to say, the horrible truth is that lockdowns killed people. Again, these are government-sanctioned lockdowns, and they're saying they killed people. Sweden had lots of coronavirus cases, but relatively few excess deaths. Australia, which we're going to talk about in a second, had few coronavirus cases, but a strict lockdown. It ended up with higher excess mortality than Sweden. And again, Sweden trusted its people to make the right choices. What a strange concept. And so what did it get for that? These are headlines early on. Just looking back in history here, Sweden went with that approach. Here's the New York Times. Sweden tries out a new status, pariah state, another one. Sweden has become the world's cautionary tale. And then another one from April 2020, as the data started just at the beginning of this pandemic here. Sweden has nearly 10 times the number of COVID-19-related deaths than its Nordic neighbors. Here's what went wrong. But now we have that same publication, the New York Times, looking like this, asking this question, scratching their head, going, I just don't know. How did no mandate Sweden end up with such an average pandemic? Boy, this is a strange question. And this is something we've been reporting on for like 3 years almost.
Yeah.
And so the Telegraph decided to rerun this headline just because, in light of all of this evidence coming out, was Sweden right all about COVID all along? And now it goes into some rough numbers in this article. And this is just shocking. It says the lack of rules allowed for people to use their judgment while minimizing economic and social damage. Sweden's GDP fell by 2.9% in 2020, while Britain's collapsed by 9.4%. Now let's look at schools. Swedish schools kept going throughout with no face masks. Sixth formers and undergraduates switched to home learning, but the rest of Swedish children went to school as normal. There were no full-scale closures, and aside from some suspicions about minor grade inflation, the average math grade sneaked up to 10.1 from 9.3. There is no talk in Sweden about educational devastation. I mean, that's an unbelievable statistic.
Which is something we're seeing all over America. We talked about we're a grade behind in many situations. One of the greatest drops in educational scores in Sweden is holding strong, if not increasing, because they let their schools stay open.
Absolutely. And there's talk about lowering people's ability to earn money over a lifetime is being hurt by this. But now let's look at this chart here. So we talk about the excess mortality of all of the European Union, basically, the European nations. And we see here Sweden on the far right has really fared the best. That's March 2020 to December 2022. This is cumulative excess mortality percentage. And you can see, again, it's Nordic neighbors. We have Norway. We have Finland. They're a lot higher. Even to the south there, Poland is number two, almost the top excess mortality. So that's really the question here. And, you know, Del, you know, scientists have been making very strong statements throughout this pandemic, and a lot of them were ignored. And we can imagine now in hindsight, if we would have listened, if the world would have listened to these type of people. And one of them is the former epidemiologist for Sweden, the chief epidemiologist, Johan Giesecker. And this is what he had to say just a couple of years ago when he's being interviewed talking about Sweden, Australia, and the lockdowns. Take a listen.
All right.
You've been a strong critic of the idea of lockdowns. Sweden has avoided the sort of lockdowns that we're seeing here in Australia. Tell us your thoughts. Are lockdowns the correct way to go?
You introduced me by saying that I would say that you got it all wrong. I don't think you got it all wrong, but you painted yourself into a corner, and I'm watching with interest how you and 100 other countries will climb out of the lockdown. Because I don't think any government that I know gave a minute's thought about how they would get out of the different lockdowns that are installed. Take a school closure, for example. If you close the schools, when are you going to open them? What's the criteria? I don't think anyone thought about that when the closure was decided on.
Now, Johan, you said that you think the results are going to be similar across most countries, regardless of the approach they've taken. Can you take us through that?
Seeing is a tsunami of a rather mild infection spreading around the globe. And I think there's very little chance to stop it by any measure we take. Most people will become infected by this, and most people won't even notice. We have data now from Sweden that shows that between 98 and 99% of the cases have had a very mild infection or didn't even realize they were infected. Wow. So we have this spread of this mild disease around the globe, and most of it is happening where we don't see it. It's among people that don't get very sick, spread it to someone else that doesn't get very sick. And what we're looking at is a thin layer at the top of people who do develop disease, an even thinner layer of people that go into intensive care, and an even thinner layer of people who die. But the real outbreak is happening where we don't see it.
Now, here in Australia, we've done an incredibly good job suppressing it. I'm wondering, do you think we have done too good a job? Is it possible to do too good a job suppressing it in the early stages, such that then you don't ever wind up being able to take the foot off the brake, as it were, on your restrictions?
But you may succeed, and New Zealand may also succeed. But I've been asking myself, when New Zealand or Australia has stamped out every case in the country, what do you do for the next 30 years? Will you close your borders completely, quarantine for everyone who's going to Australia or New Zealand? Because the disease will be out there. I don't know how you're going to handle that, but that's your problem.
You know, it's so amazing. We played that video, you know, when it came out. And really, I would say the high wire and you and I, and we sat with our team of scientists, and we basically put it all in behind Sweden and said, we're going to stand with Sweden. That makes perfect sense to us. And what we knew about the history of all viruses, he was making perfect sense. They say hindsight is 20/20, but foresight, I would say, is historic. And now we have the historic reference to say that Sweden was clearly right in their approach. He was right. How are they going to open up? And here we are on the high wire, and we're able to say, I think we bet on the right horse. So everyone watching, this may, if you're so many of you are joining us, the millions that are now joining us every week, maybe you haven't been on this ride from the beginning, your friends have told you about it, but these were the types of videos. This is what you were hearing from if you were watching the high wire. While Sweden was being attacked by every news agency in America, we were showing you what they were saying, and now we know that they were right. The reason being, as they said, we're following how we've always approached this science for the last century. The experiment was not Sweden. The experiment was everybody but Sweden. Sweden was the only one that acted naturally the way every nation already had until this virus. They held that ground, so we're going to do it like we always have, the way the world used to. The rest of us did an experiment, and I know you're about to get into Australia and how that experiment has turned out.
Yeah, let's look at Australia, particularly Western Australia. And at that time, you know, they're talking about stamping out COVID. Australia had, perhaps outside of China, the most restrictive COVID zero policy. Remember COVID zero, any case comes up, we lock down everybody. So here's the headlines at that time, back, you know, a couple of years ago. Single COVID case in Western Australia leads to 5-day lockdown for 2 million. Another one coronavirus case, total lockdown. Australia's lesson for the world. That's New York Times again. So they were actually putting this out forward and saying, look, you should all be doing this. Australia's doing such a good job. But behind those headlines, let's not forget reality of how Australia was locking people down. They weren't knocking door to door and saying, you know, gee, can you please just maybe stay in your home for a while, or we trust you to lock down? No, it looked like this. Take a look at this video.
Oh my god. just horrific scenes that we've been, you know, showing all throughout this pandemic coming out of Australia. Really, really shocking in a country I think we all assumed had, you know, some rights, human rights and freedom, but
yeah,
I guess not.
One of the ugliest chapters in public health, you know, recent history, if not history, complete history. It's just terrible what they did. Government sanctioned, a police state. It's not short of the word there. But okay, another thing happened in Australia. So we had this hard COVID lockdown, and we had this vaccination push during this hard COVID lockdown. So let's listen to then Health Minister Greg Hunt. So this was just as the vaccine was being rolled out. That was in February 2021 in Australia. And he had some interesting things to say about the vaccine, looking back at hindsight. Take a listen to what he says.
So the first goal is trying to protect against the virus coming into Australia. That's vaccinating the quarantine workers, border workers, and so on. The longer-term goal is herd immunity.
Well, obviously that's that is a long-term goal, but one of the things we've been cautious of is that you have three factors. You have coverage. You also have the question of the transmission capacity and impact, although the evidence coming out of international studies now, both clinical trials and real-world data, is that the different vaccines are showing a strong transmission impact, but we always have to be aware of the capacity of the virus to mutate. And we have to look at what is called the longevity of the protection with regards to the antibodies that are developed. And the world doesn't know that answer. The world is engaged in the largest clinical trial, the largest global vaccination trial ever, and we will have enormous amounts of data.
So there he says it. An experiment. We're all in an experiment. So now let's really bring this focus down to Western Australia. And this is encapsulated beautifully in an article by the Australian outlet Umbrella News. And it's titled How the Hermit Kingdom, it was called the Hermit Kingdom, became the world's control group for the largest vaccination trial ever. It goes on to say this: there are few regions in the world where most of the population was vaccinated before the spread of COVID in the community, sealed off from the rest of Australia and the world for 697 days. Western Australia's closed border earned it the moniker of the Hermit Kingdom. Goes on to say State Premier Mark McGowan noted Western Australia's unique role in the global vaccination trial, remarking to a press conference in early 2022, "You see, Western Australia is an experiment. We basically have had very few Omicron cases. We have very high vaccination levels, and we have a very compliant population." So something else just came out, and that was the Western Australia's safety surveillance report for their vaccinations. This is a...
And we'll pause right there on the last edition of the High Wire with Del Bigtree. We're playing just the Jackson report and on this Western Australia's Vaccine Safety Surveillance Annual Report from 2021. We'll get right back on that note when we return here on Liberation Station Radio. The drug companies claim that it's made for me, and the government, they're going
to pay for me. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turn around. I see a glimpse of the recognition, but it's too little, it's too late. And what you thought was your best decision just became your worst mistake. What I mean is why?
Back on Liberation Station Radio Show, Chris Steiner with you. And before we get back to the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree and Jeffrey Jackson talking about how we're winning victories in the press and how we're being proven right with things like Sweden being shown, you know, the liberal progressive model that Sweden is, they stayed open. Shouldn't we admire them? I mean, didn't they do the right progressive thing? I mean, oh, let them know that when you call up those community-sponsored stations, which are always progressive, by the way. I've been calling in and recommending folks call in. That's one of the big reasons I give this information, so you can let them know, hey, we were right, and now folks on your side are agreeing, whether it's a nation or a news outlet like Bloomberg News or Vanity Fair or the Atlantic Monthly, New York Times coming out and saying the masks are useless and things like that in their headline. So headline actually is honestly reflective of the content of the article. But before we continue with the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, on the note we'll keep in mind is Western Australia vaccine safety surveillance annual report from 2020. We'll get back to that, as I mentioned before the break, but since we have Dave on the line. Dave in Nevada, good afternoon. Pardon me, it's morning where you are. Good morning, Dave. What's on your mind?
I had a few observations I wanted to make first of all, I don't see any more stories in the news about, it's almost completely disappeared, about people getting sick or acquiring coronavirus, and it's almost like it's non-existent now. And I'm
wondering, we're all
why.
In this together. We're all in this together now, fighting the side effects or the deaths being caused by the shots. That seems to be the problem. People getting sick from COVID and all sorts of things because their immune systems are run down.
I don't see how this mad pandemic all of a sudden just disappears off the face of the earth. Is it all of a sudden because people are getting better? Did the pandemic disappear? It's just really, it's odd to me that something so powerful, and it was supposed to wipe off, 33 to 50% of the population, it's now gone. but I recently saw a video on YouTube by CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, which, by the way, was promoting vaccines, like everyone else was for a while. And they just did a story on how there is a mysterious death of young people worldwide, and it's increased to, it's increased like 30 to 40% over the past year or so, and they don't know why. They say it's a mystery worldwide death. And they were mentioning coronavirus, and they were saying how it could not possibly be coronavirus. And now they're saying they simply don't know. And these are the same people that were pushing vaccines for years, for the last couple of years. The problem that I have is that how do people even keep tabs on the number of people who are dying right now? How is this tabulated, that because it's so well covered up, it could be from the vaccines, right? But it's so well covered up. We don't even know what the cause is, and yet there's millions of people that are dying right now, according to the news, but they don't know.
Well, I think they do know. They don't want to repent and redeem themselves.
If
they're not
pushing
the shots, they should at least explain why they've changed their mind. You know, it's a cognitive dissonance, and it's either at the very least and at the very worst, it's misleading and deceiving folks to not protect your flock. I mean, they might think it's confusing information, you know, and it's confusing to them, but really they're not curious enough to ask why, because they're just unconscious of how it conflicts with what they think it's, because it, to them it's anything but the vaccines, or ABV, you know, whatever is being caused inexplicably. It's ABV, anything but the vaccines. But I think Ed Dowd does a good job of, the Defense Intelligence Medical Database also does a good job, and Medicare data does a good job, I think, of showing a lot more excess mortality in this country.
Yeah, here's the other issue that I have, and I've been wondering this for a while. If vaccines are such a wide, if they're such a widespread issue around the world, including quote unquote Christian nations like Russia. Because they have a vaccine in Russia, I hope people know that, and they actually force it on their military. Why isn't there one guy out there whose sole focus 24 hours a day is to talk about vaccine? 24 hours a day, take calls, talk about the vaccine. They don't talk about anything else. They don't talk about abortion. They don't talk about the Federal Reserve. They don't talk about right versus left. If vaccines are that serious and they're the cause of so many problems, why isn't there one person whose sole crusade, like he's the spearhead of this, like some kind of informational thing, 24 hours a day, taking phone calls about vaccines and nothing else? It doesn't.
Well, I will if you pay me. I would if you pay me, but. Not 24 hours.
I'm sure you could get paid. I'm sure you could get advertisers.
I think, well, do you know of Del Bigtree and the High Wire, Dave, or Robert Scott Bell, who I mentioned last hour? I mean, last segment?
No, I mean, I've heard you mention these names, but I don't know who these people are. I'm not familiar with
them. Well, I think that they're the two single best shows to listen to when they don't talk just about the shots or vaccines. They talk a lot about health, but I think the High Wire with Del Bigtree talks the most about the shots every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern at thehighwire.com. They have a huge following and you know, big collaborators with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his law firm as well. Then the Robert Scott Bell show is 6 days a week. It's at robertscottbell.com. It's on Tuesday. It's on at 3 o'clock every weekday. And I'm trying to remember. I think it's maybe 2 o'clock on Saturdays. In any case, you know, they bring on really great guests and talk a lot about the news really up to date and a lot of success stories, and bring on a lot of people. Which I'd like to bring on more guests myself. A lot more experts to deliver the information, not just recorded and playing their recordings. So, yeah, I think those are the two best, you know, when it comes to just talking about vaccines and Children's Health Defense. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s website has a lot of great articles and authors on there talking a lot about the shots and all the latest news. Are you familiar with that? Childrenshealthdefense.org.
No, but I know Robert F. Kennedy. I know what his deal is. But what exactly is he doing right now? Like, is he trying to run for office, or what is he doing right now?
Yeah, he just filed to run for president. Let me see if he's has any updates on his Facebook page, by the way. But to give you the latest. But yeah, he's filed with the Federal Election Commission, and he'll announce his candidacy April 19th in 10 days. So he's asking for donations.
He's going to run at kennedy.com.
Yeah, he is. He is running for the Democratic ticket, which surprised me. Dancing with it, as Sam the board op said, he doesn't dance with the devil. I think he is, especially since he's running in the Democratic Party.
I mean, unless he's an quote unquote infiltrator, which I don't think he is. I don't think he's an infiltrator of the Democratic Party.
What is he doing? Is he trying to get himself killed? I mean, I wondered the same thing. I mean, intellectually, I wondered the same thing. You know, knowing about JFK and JFK Jr., 1999, who's running against Hillary, died in a plane crash that was so suspicious, and RFK, and RFK Jr.'s, I think it's his niece, died in a, her name is Meave Kennedy McKean, died, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, in a suspicious canoeing accident.
Wasn't the Kennedy family, aren't they entirely composed of Democrats, like, from the beginning of time?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Maybe they're just keeping in family tradition.
Well, I mean, I think they have a tradition of philanthropy, if you're trying to help society. I don't know if, I mean, I know that he's, RFK Jr. has a lot of problems with his, you know, issues with his family. His own wife doesn't approve or doesn't agree. You know, his family's come out against him in the last couple years. I don't think he's responded to them, which is probably a good thing, you know. Because, you know, whenever someone criticizes you, I'll just wait till they criticize me on the facts. And, you know, if they want to quote me or cite some facts to contradict what I have to say, that's fine. But yeah, I don't know how much solidarity he has with his family right now.
Yeah, I don't know either, but at this point, I personally don't really think it matters what party you're running for. I mean, look at Donald Trump. I don't consider him to be any kind of Christian or conservative, but Christians consider him to be like Christian conservative, but he's not in the least Christian conservative.
I would tend to agree, yeah. But not being, I would rather, not on his morality, but I think it's even worse, morally speaking, what he's done to enact laws and, things like 5G, and I've gone over a lot of his things that he's done before, the things, his executive orders, the things that he's actually done are a lot worse, I see that the progressives will criticize him or somebody on the other side based on marginal arguments and not argue the things that are the worst about them, and it's probably because they agree with their candidate on most of those issues, the same issues, so they don't want to talk about issues.
I think one of the reasons why people fell for Donald Trump is because his enemies were liberal. That does not make him your friend. It does not make him your friend. It does not. If your enemy is liberal, that does not make you necessarily a Christian or a conservative, or that he's working for you. People don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
His enemy is George Soros. You must be a good guy. I don't buy that argument. Or Hillary criticized Donald Trump. Let's get vaccinated. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, when it comes to any candidate, DeSantis or Hillary or Trump or even Bernie Sanders, I can't think of who else is running. What's her name? Marianne Williamson. I have to check on her. Just occurred to me that see if she's gotten the COVID shot. But maybe RFK Jr. could run on the slogan with the slogan of "I'm the one who never got the shot." Because they all got the shot. I think that's the biggest disqualifier for president or any public office,
yeah,
is that probably your mental acuity has been cut down with a spike protein ruining your cardiovascular health. So, I think the COVID shots, how much do you care about your own health personally to have been educated about what you put into your own veins? I think that's a good argument to make. Meanwhile, all the others were telling you to get it.
Yeah, this whole thing is so confusing to people, and I think it's supposed to be confusing because that's how they control people, through confusion.
Yep. Well, Dave, I appreciate your call. We got to move on. You have any last words?
No, that's fine. I just had to mention that stuff. It's just,
yeah, good point.
It's just mind boggling to me. It really is.
It is. When things don't make sense, tune into your intuition. Maybe they will. For me, that's what's helped me be a little bit more sane, even though it may not seem to others, but I don't want to be over exuberant. I do want us to know, who our candidates are, and I think that the distinctions, the primary distinctions, are the COVID shots right now, because people are still getting them. They're still on the market. We're still in an emergency, declared emergency, that allows for the emergency use authorized products like the COVID shots to be used. So,
as long as they're available, people are going to take them. So.
Yeah, they are. Pay attention to the slave stream media. All right, Dave, good points. Thanks for calling, and thanks for jogging my brain a bit. And we got a couple more calls here. We got three more calls, Tom, Steve, and Pat. So we'll continue. Thanks for skipping the break. All right, Sam, we'll go to Tom in Utah. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Chris, what kind of makes me feel bad or sad, I feel disappointed, even with Del Bigtree and Akola and the other, quote, experts out there, they don't actually give you the final piece of the puzzle which would empower you. The fact is, none of these pathogens or the antigens that have to be with them are ethereal. What does that mean? you take them outside, the fat, the flesh, the plasma of the creature that has the infection in the first place, that infection degrades, number one, with the exposure to what? Oxygen, sunlight, cosmic energy. So no pathogen can be passed from one person to another by casual contact. Otherwise, I would have been dead long ago because I handled deathly ill patients without any concern of becoming ill myself. Why? Because I worked in the lab and I knew that no pathogen can be cultured in air. No pathogen can survive on a surface. No pathogen can actually survive on your skin. Why? What does your skin exude? Salt and acids. Those are both deleterious to these, quote, pathogens. So I never worried about touching a sick patient, even sitting on the toilet of an AIDS patient. Dr. Lorraine Day and I argued about those issues in the beginning. I said, Lorraine, these pathogens cannot be transmitted through casual contact. They have to be in a package or a fomite of fat, a very dense fat, and that's only animal fat, flesh, and plasma. Is there any fat, flesh, and plasma in a potato or a carrot or an apple? I could never culture any disease in the lab, and Pat from Texas knows that. She's a former lab tech. But nobody wants to tell you that the only way you can get a pathogen or an illness is by consuming the tissues of something like you, but not you. That's simple. So, but what is a vaccine? By the way, one other statement. Somebody was saying, well, now they're going to start vaccinating the animals. Well, idiots, we have been vaccinating the animals since the 50s and 40s. That was part of my duty as a veterinary pathologist, is to vaccinate the animals. And I didn't know what was in that vial. So if you want to spread a disease, spread it through the livestock. The livestock don't complain and go to the fence and say, oh, I got a headache, I got a bad stomach. They don't tell you that they may be feeling a little bit of malaise. So their tissues end up in the system, and that's how you get your illness. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Pathogens don't move through the air. They don't survive on the surface. They don't even transmit just by hugging your grandma or grandma hugging you. That's the sad thing. We are put into these lockdowns and all this quarantine crap, and none of that is affecting the transmission of disease. It's what you wrap your lips around and swallow. And it's that plain and that simple. Of course, nobody wants to hear that. Like Paul the Apostle said, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory.
Well, I wondered, though, can you catch a respiratory disease through eating, right? And, yet, why would it set up shop is my question. Why would it set up shop in your... Why would it prefer the respiratory tract if you got it through ingestion?
Is your trachea and your esophagus the same tube initially?
Uh-huh.
Your throat carries your air and carries your food. So when you are drinking something like milk, and then you breathe, you literally aspirate little droplets of that milk into your lungs. So that's how you get an infection in your lungs, is through the liquids and the food you eat. And particles of that food end up being drafted into your lungs.
Okay, I hadn't thought of that. I've heard of...
The primary vectors of disease transmission are the animal products, like milk, like eggs, like flesh, like the blood. That's the only way disease moves. I can never culture anything in the lab using a vegetable, or air, or nothing. You got to have fat, flesh, and plasma. Plasma, either plasma or blood. Or milk is plasma. It's the blood of that animal without the hemoglobin. Everything else in the bloodstream ends up in the milk. Uh-huh. That's the primary vector of respiratory infections. Fact. And I wish the Big Tree and McCullough would tell you that piece of truth.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering why would you happen to know, Tom, why Dr. Peter McCullough, whenever he says SARS-CoV-2, the respiratory illness, he always adds the respiratory illness. He's always careful to say that, and I'm not sure is there a distinction, since I've heard other doctors, like Dr. Joseph Fitzgerald on the show, say that it's contracted through surfaces and not through airborne, would you happen to know why Dr. McCullough would be saying that, or what belief, false or otherwise, he might be saying that?
Well, I've had them in my classes. I've taught zoonosis in 32 or more colleges and universities throughout the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s. So they know that the primary source or vector of disease, quite frankly, milk is the big one, because we don't sterilize milk, we pasteurize it. That's just summarily heated. It's not sterile, otherwise that milk could sit on the table for days and not go putrid, right? So what causes milk to sour? Bacteria that survive the pasteurization. Pasteurization is only just summarily heating. It's not boiling or sterilizing. And when you drink that, again, droplets of milk are aspirated or drafted into your lungs, and that gives opportunity for those agents to become a respiratory disease.
All right, Tom, I hear you. I appreciate that. It's lots more to comment when we get back, but we got to move on to some more calls here when we return. We'll take your calls, Pat and Steve, and then Pat in Texas, and your calls are welcome when we return the second and final hour of Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner here with you. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.